Words from the Gospel reading for today. Just so, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner. There's a lot that's been written about the power of one. The power of one. And I won't go into all the literature that's been out there about the power of one, but I'm reminded of a book that I browsed through some time ago, and I know it's still on my bookshelf, and it talks about 360-degree influence. How was it, Maxwell or somewhere like that? Anyway, someone wrote this book talking about the fact that wherever we are in life, no matter where we are, we have the opportunity to influence those around us, whether for good or evil, and how we have our own circles of influence, whether it's a family, whether it's at work, whether it's in the church, wherever we are, we do have that opportunity. And as I was reflecting on the gospel reading, I thought not just about the power of one, but about things that we value and how we respond or react when we lose such treasures, or perhaps just misplace them temporarily. I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you think you know exactly where something is located, and at the moment when you really need it, you go and it's not there. And guess what we do? We do as the shepherd did, and as the woman did in the gospel reading for today. We search and we search and we search relentlessly. And by God's grace, we'll find whatever we're looking for. But the gospel reading for today allows us to reflect on the mission of Jesus. Why did Jesus come into the world? And we know from what Doug presented to us today is that in the gospel reading, Jesus is challenged to defend his relationship with those on the margins of society. And in this case, it quoted tax collectors and sinners. So the question that I'm posing to us today, why do we think that the Pharisees were upset because Jesus associated with outsiders in society? Why would they be upset? Well, one possible explanation is that the religious leaders of the day were quite pious, and they were always careful to observe the traditions and practices around certain protocols like cleanliness and ritual washing. And this included avoiding certain people and certain situations. But we must take the specific social context into consideration. And in that particular context, what one had to eat, what one ate, and what one and with whom one had a meal were important in drawing and maintaining boundaries. And this probably explains why the Pharisees avoided the people who were regarded as publicans and sinners. Jesus, on the other hand, ignored the traditions around associating with certain classes of people. In fact, Jesus made a concerted and deliberate effort to reach out to the disadvantaged in society, with those on the margins. Now, I must tell you that once per month, from the parish here at St. George and Young, and through the initiative of Doug Hayes here, we have a pub ministry. And I know that so many people have frowned on the idea of having ministry in a pub. Reflect on this. Quite often, we, the church, people of faith, need to go into places where we respond to people who are in need, and in places which are unusual for taking the gospel. And so we do have a pub ministry. We go to places other than to meet people who might not necessarily want to take the first step. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing, and that is exactly what these illustrations are all about. The Pharisees and the legal experts oppose Jesus, and they're always looking for every opportunity to challenge him and to destroy his credibility. So in response to their concerns, Jesus tells two stories. In the first parable, Jesus talks about the lost sheep, and he gives the example of a shepherd with 100 sheep. And when one sheep goes astray, the shepherd searches nonstop for the one lost sheep while ignoring the 99 left grazing in the pastures and on the hillsides. Now, something was pointed out to me after our reflection at the 8 o'clock service, that generally shepherds go two by two, and one, while he's out there searching, the other shepherd is actually taking care of the 99 who remain in the fold. And isn't that a wonderful illustration? Because as we know, God is a triune God, and we are always protected, we are always accompanied through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, following the example of the shepherd, when we in turn, as believers, approach someone, extending love to someone, God's love, we know that we are never ever alone, because God is with us. The sheep was valuable. Each sheep is valuable. And the shepherd knew that it was worthwhile to search diligently for each lost sheep. The shepherd loves each sheep and wants each sheep to return to its rightful place in the flock. And he wants the entire flock to be together. So that's what the first parable is all about, the lost sheep. And there's a second story that Jesus presented as part of the gospel reading for today. And it was about the lost coin. We are aware that in first century Palestine and in many traditions today, it was quite common for women to receive something of value as a wedding gift. And in this case, the illustration was the 10 silver coins. And we know that things of value, apart from their monetary value, like these coins, would also have sentimental value. So you could very well imagine that the last coin was very, very important to the woman who kept searching and searching and searching for that coin. And we could very well imagine that it might have been quite upsetting for her. Naturally, she had lost a valuable possession. So she would naturally be motivated to do a thorough search until she found the missing coin because of its real and of its sentimental value. Now, some biblical scholars have suggested that this second parable was addressed specifically to the women who were following Jesus, and to acknowledge the women who were accompanying him, and by extension, to extend the message of salvation to all women. So, my friends, some thoughts from the gospel for your consideration. The two parables presented in the gospel reading show the importance of reaching out to those who are on the periphery, not only of the church, but who are on the periphery of learning about the gospel of Christ. It shows the importance of reaching out to those who are in need. And just as the shepherd takes the initiative to look for the lost sheep, just as a woman takes time to look for the lost coin. God is taking the initiative to reach out to you and to me. And by extension, we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to take the initiative to reach out to those in need. So first of all, let us reach out. Secondly, these two parables point to the rebuilding of relationships, the recovery of the lost sheep, the recovery of the lost coin. And Jesus' stories show a connection between the lost being found and the repentance of sinners like you and like me. Because people are restored to God, into a relationship with God, just as the sheep and the coin are returned to their rightful place with the others. So first of all, let us reach out. Secondly, let us recover our relationship with each other, our broken relationship with each other. And thirdly, rejoice. We rejoice. Because we know from the story that when the lost sheep came back to the fold and when the lost coin was found, there was rejoicing. Because redemption brings rejoicing. And Jesus draws a parallel between the joy expressed and the joy that accompanies. And we know that the gospel reading reminds us that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's from verse 10 of the gospel. So some further thoughts. Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees to defend his relationship with those on the margins of society. But we know that Jesus was not concerned about these accusations by the Pharisees, and he continued to reach out to those in need despite their objections. In the end, Jesus turns the tables and invites the Pharisees and the legal experts to join him in welcoming people who are beyond hope. Join him in welcoming people as if they were family and friends, and to celebrate their new life in Christ. That's the gospel reading to us for today. And if we listen carefully to the reading of the epistle, we know that Paul, in his letter to the epistle, in his letter to Timothy, provides a plausible explanation for us to consider. So for any of us who might feel so terrible about our past, who might feel that God could never forgive and accept us, this excerpt is a reminder of God's grace and of God's mercy. Because this passage is really about God's mercy on Paul. For despite his past, Paul was forgiven and became God's messenger to help spread the gospel of Christ. The reading from Timothy gives hope to all of us, as it reminds us that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that is from verse 15 of the epistle reading. And that is great news for you and for me. Paul's letter reminds us of God's mission, and that is why he seeks you and he seeks me, one by one, because each one of us is placed by God for his purposes. So we too can follow Christ's example by reaching out to those who are powerless and bring God's love to those in need. Jesus came to offer God's salvation to sinners like you and like me, and to show that God loves us. So let us pause for a minute and imagine what this church would be like, what this community would be like, if we reached out to each other and shared God's love? What would this church feel like if we genuinely shared God's love with those in need? This fall, we are going to be continuing our mission action planning to look at why we are here at St. George and Young, and to look at our priorities in worship, in Christian fellowship, and reaching out to those in need. And one of the initiatives that we have taken is a four-part study on a book by John Boyne, who formerly a professor at Wycliffe College and a professor in evangelism. And it's a little booklet which we are going to explore. And it's called From Visitor to Disciple. And how do we help each other take steps from attending church to being active, to being contributing, and to being articulate disciples of Jesus? We do have a sign-up sheet, and I hope that you will consider this amazing opportunity to be equipped for building up our Christian community here at St. George and Young and beyond. So let us remain faithful as we share God's love with others. So in closing, the gospel reminds us that there is a God who will keep looking and looking and looking for us until we are found. And looking not only for us, but for all who are in need. God continues to reach out to us. He continues to restore us. He continues to bring us back into a relationship with Him. And He rejoices. There is joy in heaven. There is joy among the angels. There is joy among the Christian family when one person responds in faith. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save you and to save me. And that is good news. That is good news. Thanks be to God. And so, my sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you today in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.